Family, and welcome to another Talk to Me Tuesday edition of Let's Talk with Mr. Talk. Mr. Talk won't be joining us today, so I hope you don't mind me filling in temporarily. This is Hakeem, a.k.a. Cloud Nation, broadcasting live and direct. Once again, I want to wish everybody a happy belated holiday to all, and I sure hope that you enjoyed all the food, friends, family, and festivities over the weekend. Yeah, I'm happy to, you know, see you guys back safe and sound. You know, that's very, very important. So with that being said, since you guys are back safe and sound, love and hugs to everyone in the, you know, in the chat room and on the phone lines and you subscribers and archivers of the show. Without you guys, none of this would be possible. I'm going to continue to look into the chat room. I see we have guests 1104 then. I guess people are still coming on, arriving, and so on. And so I'll give my special shout-outs to everyone soon and very soon. If you have a specific thing on your mind you want to talk about, feel free. To share what's on your mind, today is Talk to Me Tuesday, so it's an open forum, and so we don't have a specific topic to talk about. We will, however, revisit and talk a little more about yesterday's topic briefly, Who Owns America. I have a couple of clips, you know, that's dealing with that subject. And before we get into everything, I feel like, you know, listening to a little music. I hope you guys do too. So what we're going to do now is we are going to listen to a little Curtis Mayfield, the great Curtis Mayfield. Yeah.
Come on. Thank you.
Nothing like Sam Cooke and the great Curtis Mayfield to get you off on the good foot, literally. We're going to go into one more by Sam Cooke, and then we're going to hop into the open forum. I want to welcome everybody that's in the queue at the moment and everyone in the chat room. As I said before, it's an open forum. It's an open forum, so we will be discussing what you guys want to talk about today. So I hope you have, you know, the things that's on your mind that you want to talk about ready to go, and just call on in. You know the number is 347-838-6622. That's 347-838-8622. Call on in, voice your opinion, share your thoughts. I want to get back into this Sam Cooke, and then we'll start our discussion today. So a little more to Sam Cooke, and then it's time to do a little talking.
I'm in a sad mood tonight. Oh, I'm in a sad mood. I'm in a sad mood tonight. Oh, my baby done gone away and left me. My baby done gone, yeah. My baby done gone away and left me. My baby done gone. I don't know why she left me. I don't know where she's gone. But all I know is I'll never be happy until my baby comes back home. Yeah, because I'm in a sad mood. Oh, my baby's done gone away and left me. My baby's done gone. Oh, I don't know why she left me. But this one thing I know that if my baby tells me that she'll come back home, I'm never, never to be no more. Yeah, because I'm in a sad mood tonight. Oh, I'm in a sad mood. I'm in a sad mood tonight. Oh, my baby's done gone away and left me. My baby's done gone, yeah. My baby's done gone away and left me. My baby's done gone. I'm in a sad mood tonight. Oh, I'm in a sad mood tonight. She got me in a sad mood tonight. And with a dawn, I'm in a sad mood tonight. Oh, I'm in a sad mood
tonight. Once again, that was the amazing and immaculate Sam Cooke. Again, I want to thank everyone. And it's been a special shout-out. Greetings to all of you, the entire beloved BTR family. I want to welcome you guys again to a Talk to Me Tuesday edition. Let's Talk with Mr. Talk. Mr. Talk won't be joining us today, so I hope you guys don't mind me filling in temporarily. This, again, is Akeem, a.k.a. Clown Nation, broadcasting live and direct. As I said before, I want to continue to wish a happy belated holiday to all, and I hope you guys enjoyed all the food, friends, family, and festivities over the weekend. We're going to hop into this open forum discussion. And speaking of Independence Day or the 4th of July, I want to hear, there was something interesting that I talked about yesterday and that caught my attention, the speech by Frederick Douglass regarding Independence Day. Now I'm going to open up the mics after this recording, so bear with me. 347-838-8622 is the number. That's 347-838-8622. If you want to join in the discussion, we'll make sure your mic is hot. We have a reading by, I believe it's James Earl Jones, and he's reading Frederick Douglass' speech, The Meaning of July 4th for the Negro, is what the speech was. So we're going to listen to that, and then we'll open up the phone lines.
...a powerful leader of the anti-slavery movement. In 1852, he was asked to speak in celebration of the 4th of July.
Fellow citizens, pardon me, and allow me to ask, why am I called upon to speak here today? What have I, or those I represent, to do with your national independence? Are the great principles of political freedom and of natural justice embodied in that Declaration of Independence extended to us, and am I, therefore, called upon to bring our humble offering to the national altar and to contest the benefits and express devout gratitude for the blessings resulting from your independence to us? I am not included within the pale of this glorious anniversary. Your high independence only reveals the immeasurable distance between us. The blessings in which you this day rejoice are not enjoyed in common. The rich inheritance of justice, liberty, prosperity, and independence. repentance bequeathed by your fathers is shared by you, not by me. The sunlight that brought life and healing to you has brought stripes and death to me. This 4th of July is yours, not mine. You may rejoice. I must mourn. To drag a man in fetters into the grand illuminated temple of liberty and call upon him to join you in joyous anthems were inhuman mockery and sacrilegious irony. Do you mean, citizens, to mock me by asking me to speak today? What to the American slave is your 4th of July? I answer, a day that reveals to him more than all other days of the year the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is a constant victim. To him, your celebration is a sham, your boasted liberty an unholy license, your national greatness swelling vanity, your sound of rejoicing are empty and heartless, your denunciation of tyrants brass-fronted impudence, your shouts of liberty and equality hollow mockery, your prayers and hymns, your sermons and thanksgivings, with all your religious parade and solemnity, are to him mere bombast, fraud, deception, impiety, and hypocrisy, a thin veil to cover up crimes that would disgrace a nation of savages. There is not a nation of the earth guilty of practices more shocking and bloody than are the people of these United States at this very hour. At a time like this, scorching irony, not convincing argument, is needed. Oh, had I the ability and could reach the nation's ear, I would today pour forth a stream, a fiery stream of biting ridicule, blasting reproach, withering sarcasm, and stern rebuke. For it is not light that is needed, but fire. It is not the gentle shower, but thunder. We need the storm, the whirlwind, the earthquake. The feeling of the nation must be quickened. The conscience of the nation must be roused. The propriety of the nation must be startled. The hypocrisy of the nation be exposed, and the crimes against God and man must be proclaimed and denounced.
Wow.
Wow, if that wasn't powerful to you, I don't know what to say. I'm going to open up the phone lines after listening to that reading Frederick Douglass speech on the 4th of July done by James Earl Jones. That was fire. I'm going to open up the mics. I see a couple of people have entered in, so I'm going to make you guys' mics hot. Both callers, your mics are hot. Welcome to the show. Your lines are open. That's pretty quiet. Who do we have on the line? Okay. Well, while you guys decide when you guys want to chat, going to continue to get into this. That was a pretty interesting one, and I got one more, actually, one more that I didn't share with you guys. It's pretty cool. And this one is actually a response, some advice for the young people from the amazing Dick Gregory, and I thought this was pretty interesting, so I'm going to go to that clip. And then we'll go back to opening the lines and see if anyone wants to, you know, share their thoughts.
I don't make the mistake that most of your mothers and fathers made. When I wake up in the morning, my prayer is not thank God I woke up. The proof of praying woke up this morning. The drug pushers woke up this morning. I thank God that I made another 24 hours in the most vicious, nasty, hateful, insane nation that ever existed with my wit, without hating, without being bitter, without being mean. I thank God that I survived 24 hours in that type of atmosphere with the type of amusement and friendliness. And so I would say to young folks, don't be in a state of denial of the racism and sexism. But don't let that block you. Don't teach your children that you have to be twice as good as a white. That's an awful thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's like saying because you're black, white America has a right to change your dollar for 94 cents. But we used to get 50 cents, and before that, we used to get nothing. Young folks have to say, we don't want more change for a dollar. We want a full dollar's change for a dollar, or this cash register will never ring again.
Yeah.
I would also like for young blacks to understand 83% of all employment happened with small business. And, if you don't have a small business, then you have nobody to work for you. And I would say to young blacks, get into entrepreneurship. We will never catch up with white America in any business because there's a thing called tax write-offs. And if you have a job and come together, 10 of you, and open up a corporation, and have somebody run it. You hire somebody to run it. But you have tax write-offs. 98% of people apply first class on airplanes would not be there because that wasn't a write-off. And yet, on that first class, they gave away last year $800 million, almost $1 billion of free whiskey. But if a welfare mother asked for some apple juice for the baby, he'd laugh at it. And so I would say entrepreneurship. And then understand that we will never survive as a group till we get into communities and not neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
A community is, I control the police, the banks, the schools, the firefighters, and I control the flow of the money. And I have no problem when I go in a Jewish neighborhood and the shop owners are Jewish, and I go into an Italian neighborhood and shop owners are Italian. I have a problem when I come in a black neighborhood. The shop owners is not me. A Korean has a right to come in and buy my shop $30 million more than it's worth. That's good business. But if we decide that we're not going to do business with that one, then he'll have to sell it back, or he'll sell it back to a black person for $1 million. And then the money circulates and circulates, and that's how change. We've been so busy dealing with the hurt and the pain and the misery and glamorizing a handful that have made it that we have never really looked at, like they say, your role model. If you haven't got a role model in your house, you should fall on your knees and pray to God because something is wrong.
Yeah.
And so I would say to young folks, it's not about alcohol, but it's hard for me to say that to you when a five-year-old got to reach past mama's beer and papa's wine to get some mayonnaise. I would also say to young folks that the number one drug that will wipe you out is not cocaine, it's not heroin, it's marijuana, and they deliberately make that a recreation drug, but it stays in the muscles, it stays in the blood, and it will wipe out your memory bank. And also, this is the first time in the history of TV
that TV has always been known as poor folks. It's the first time that TV is not running rampant in the ghetto. It's running rampant in middle-income white America because it's the marijuana that they spray, and that's no accident. And so I would just say to young folks, you have to reevaluate everything you've been taught. I would say to the black folks, just because a black person is 90 years old don't mean they have wisdom, and you need to listen to them, because if you was dumb and stupid when you was 9, you're dumb and stupid when you're 90.
Wow. Powerful words. Powerful words by Dick Gregory. I'm going to open up the lines to everyone who's interested in talking, making your mics hot. So if you want to say something, your mic is now open. Let everybody know this is an open forum today. So
hello,
you guys.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hello? What's up? I was away from the phone the first time. Yeah. What's up with you?
Oh man, how you doing? Is that Offex?
Yes. Open forum. We're gonna have some fun today.
Good. Good. How you doing today?
Pretty good.
Good. Anything in particular on your mind, or did you want to talk about?
Oh, you have any other callers come in, or you want me to? Yeah, you have any more callers, or I can wait?
Yeah,
because I want to get on both of these people.
Yeah,
I want to get on both of these, Crip. Well, first of all,
yeah.
How do I start? Let me start with Dick Gregory first. What you just heard was so disgusting. I mean, you listen to him, and he's the type of guy, he mixes facts and theory, and he's a conspiracy theorist. You have to realize what Dick Gregory is saying hasn't gone anywhere yet. Listen, some people may use that, and this how he defines a community. That's from his observation. It's pitiful how he is just lying and trying to get in somebody's mind and says, it's not a community unless the streets look like gold. Make sure the money is circulating. But first of all, you never want money to always circulate in a circle in your community, because you always want money to also come in, new monies to come in. So, I know you have to circulate, but you want money to come in, and some money will be going out of the community. But to say, just define as a community, is that you own the police department, you own this, you own that. No. What you mean own? Who owns the police department? The citizens own the police department. The citizens have the power over the police department. But do the citizens exercise their right and exercise their power over the police department? Just because a city or community may not look, may not be operating as someone may want it to operate it, that does not mean it's not a community. Stop having this different defining as a community, because when you say something is not a community because it doesn't look or doesn't operate the way you want it to operate, that's why people forget about that community. We're saying some things concept-wise just not true. When you talk about the inner city crime, when you talk about gang violence, when you talk about South Side of Chicago, when you're talking about any type of major city that community, that zone, that zip code, quote-unquote empowerment zone. Remember they had these empowerment zone initiatives? The community didn't look right, but you can call it a zone or community. They still had a plan for that. But when you have these and when you make that definition, people forget about it. People say we're not together. People start saying there is no black community, saying things that just doesn't make sense. That's like saying a family is not a family unless all the family members get along. I mean, I heard you yesterday say, you know what, you know, even though some we may not agree with all what all of our family members do, they're still our family. It's still a community. So what you just heard is a psychological delusion, and it stunts people's growth. The concept is not right. Now, just to say we don't have power, first of all, you must say that you do have power to change it. If you think that you don't have no power, you cannot change in that community. But I just think it's crazy for him to say that. It's pitiful. It sounds real good. Now, he talks about marijuana. Well, first of all, before marijuana was illegal, he was talking about how these kids getting locked up for little 5 bags of weed. Now that they're legalizing, now the conspiracy is that it's going to destroy our community. People have been smoking marijuana for years, cigarettes. That never stunted anybody's growth. If you're going to be what you're going to be no matter what you smoke. Now he's saying it's a conspiracy now when people spraying things on marijuana, but now people are getting away from illegal dealers spraying it, and now people are growing it naturally. So I don't know what he's talking about. It's just crazy to me. Do you want to elaborate on what I was saying on those two points?
Oh, man, what you're saying, I'm listening to you, and, you know, what it, I think what you've been sharing is, yeah, can you hear me?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, how you
okay,
doing?
Okay, go ahead. Your mic is hot.
Well, yep. Well, first I want to disagree with, I hate to do this, but almost 99% of what all facts just said.
Okay.
he's still my brother.
No problem. This is going to be a good conversation then. I'm listening.
Well, the one thing I do want to start with what I agree with, and that's just the conspiracy theories. I do think we do get, carried away. And what ends up happening is just like you're absolutely correct that when you take that conspiracy theory to the fringes, it almost makes you delusional. It almost makes you, when people listen to you, it almost makes what you're saying delusional. Because it'll be a conspiracy if you see three rocks in a row and shit. Ah, that's a conspiracy. I mean, so that part I agree with. But now on the social science side, I don't know where you're getting your information from that you use when you're defining community. I don't know, it may be a self-definition. I don't even have
problems
with that.
But see, it's not ambiguous. I'm using the same definition that any of our children academically will go and look up a community. Even when you say the word black people, you're identifying that's just a semantic of a community because you have to be measuring something. If there is no black community, how can we even talk about black issues politically? The Mexican people are a political group. They were on Univision. You can't say there is no black community, even though that we may be divided.
How does owning a television station make people a political group?
Because, for one, because they use that political, first of all, that television station represents their culture, represents their language. He's cutting me off. I have not finished your question.
Does that make them a political group? That doesn't make any sense.
I want to explain myself. I have not finished.
You can't explain that. That doesn't make any sense. If a small group of Latino people, if they own a television station, how does that make all Mexican people or all Mexican people a political group?
I answer his question? You're going to have to mute him, bro.
Go ahead and explain. Before you go too deep, I just wanted to – I didn't want you to run away from the issue that I was speaking about. I do agree with Beasley with where you were going. It didn't make sense. But now –
You haven't let me finish. The argument is not over yet. I will make sense. I will make sense. I'm not talking in circles, factually.
Okay. Well, in the context of what we know communities to be, in other words, this, all facts, if you were to go from here to the other side of the earth, and those commonalities that, say you took 10 groups, and out of these 10 groups that gave you a definition of a community, let's say there were 5 things that all of them said, right? So that's what I mean when I say commonality. So 10 groups from around globe that don't know each other, the pattern was there were five things that they said meant community to them. So let's keep community in that context, not this willy-nilly, let me look at this group and see if it's a community or by faith. Let me say this is a community by faith. None of that bullshit. All right. So now, if you take that definition of community, I would like for you to explain what elements this black neighborhood has that makes it a community. What are you using?
No, first of all, you're making the word community ambiguous. You're making it that it can mean, like the word, like anything can mean beautiful to anybody. You're making it ambiguous in why you're doing
okay.
it.
Okay. Well,
hold on,
this is what makes it unambiguous. I said go across the globe, pick 10 groups, and five things that they all agree was community. That's making it unambiguous. Now, how am I making it ambiguous?
Okay. I thought you said 10 different groups are going to say 10 different things. Okay, you're saying the commonality. Evidently, I'm
right.
just saying the commonality is basically a group of people, okay, that you can identify them. They have something in common. They may not have everything in common, but in that group of people may be in a geographical location. Like they said, there are quote unquote, when they did the census, they said there's a quote unquote 40 million black people, African Americans in this country. That is a group. They may be living in different states. There's not all 40 people consolidated and clustered in one area, no. But that is a black community within this country, which is a community. That's why you have political issues. That's why you have affirmative action. That's why we have civil rights. That's why we have to make sure that, you know, people do equal opportunity, because you have different political groups. Now, let me go back to Beasley's question. The reason why that you said that was a community, for one, and it goes back to what, I mean, it's just like BET. It's clearly that the BET focuses on the black community. The African American is duh. But the reason why Univision can be symbolized as a political group, because, for one, that is a TV station just like BET is to the black community. And they were talking about political issues about the Mexican community, like immigration. Okay, about border patrol, all of those things that affect the Mexican community. And they were using that Mexican platform, that media. They say media controls politics. So they were using Univision or as a political form to get their message out. And they made sure that they have questions and answers for the candidates, right? Now, when they came, when Romney and Obama came to our community, they went to the Urban League. Why? Because Urban League is going to have black organizations that are helping the black community in certain areas, maybe getting charter schools or making sure kids get books in certain districts, certain zip codes, where there's a lot of gang violence or there's a lot of poverty, the black community, right? Right, in certain areas, they came and they talk to the black community, because they, each community has their political issues. It just is what it is. In Maryland, the Hispanic community was saying, you know what, we want to make sure we don't get profiled when we have our people standing next to Home Depot. We want to make sure that illegal aliens get driver's license. You cannot tell me a group of people are not political in certain areas in our society. It's just factually.
Well,
so if you don't, if you do not recognize yourself as a community politically, what are you talking about reparations? What are you talking about the tax base? What are you talking about 94% of African-American teens that get out of high school in Chicago are unemployed? Where are you getting your numbers? You're identifying a group of people, a community. If you're not going to identify yourself politically as a community, other people are. Look at Univision. That's all I got to say.
Okay. All right. Let me say, Beasley, I'll
Damn, he doesn't make any sense ever.
Yeah, well, I think it makes a lot of sense. What's wrong with
He never makes any sense.
Well, sometimes he does. Sometimes
they
does.
Mad as shit because it's real clear.
No
and they
one's
mad
angry
because,
about anything.
You
know, no one's
angry
about anything.
Up.
All facts are
listen,
just
listen,
an idiot.
Listen,
Teddy,
be quiet,
Teddy.
If I'm
an
idiot,
you talk about shit just to be talking. You don't know shit. Nobody else would listen
and a woman,
to you besides
Ted Dudiak,
PTR. Go talk to someone in the street. You're an idiot.
Ted Dudiak. Ted Dudiak. Challenge what I said, Ted Dudiak.
You're an idiot. I challenge what
I
you say. You start
bitch,
talking in fucking
said,
circles. Hey, everybody
DDI.
Knows
I
you're an idiot. Everybody but you.
I challenge what the fuck you just said.
Well, let me
say you're a fucking idiot. Go look in the mirror and go look up idiot.
What
and
was
you,
it
do,
that
you fit
said
the
at
definition.
The end
I don't need Joe to tell me anything. You're an idiot.
I would say this. there's a brother who wrote a book. His name is This Is For All Facts. His name is Billy Vance. He wrote the book From Ghetto to Community. He's a civil engineer, and so it's a very, very technical book, which, you know, a community is a social science term, so it's technical. I would say, brother, that would be a good start for you to
Look.
Hello?
Everybody
Hello?
That I know, every time
Hello?
I'm on a black-ass fucking radio show,
okay.
They keep talking
that's
about
the one
black
white, that's the one white boy. That's the one white boy. Okay, well, hold on, man. You can talk.
Yeah, you're damn right
I
can talk. I've been here longer than you've been alive.
All right. Well,
every
I'm
on a black...
Okay. Yeah, and that's a goofy little white boy. He can talk after I speak, but I would say start there. I would just say this in all facts. Keep community in context. And what, in other words, we're not having this conversation just to be bullshitting. So when we talk about if we need a functional black community, do we have a functional black community? Do we have a dysfunctional black community? I would say this, you know, we need to have the talk, but I do think that we need to have some clarity on what it is we're saying. This is what will represent a functional black community. Now, that's a universal term, a functional community. In order to have a functional community, you have to have more than just people who have the same color or people who are cordoned off in a certain geographical area. That does not make you a community. Or people that got hit upside the head with a billy club. That don't make you a community. Or people that may have AIDS. That don't make you a community. In the context of what we're talking about, the black community, you have to have interlocking institutions that you're learning. Do you want me to name them so we can be clear? Hello? Well, so how are you there then?
Muted. Yeah, why was I muted?
Oh, we were having a technical difficulty, so I
want to
apologize for everybody.
Oh, no. Hey, bro, that's not me.
Wanted,
I'm
please,
challenging content,
I wanted to tell everybody
that's not
that
I'm answering questions and everything.
214-803-269-870. All of you guys' mics are open.
I'm answering questions and everything, and I'm getting yelled at. Why am I muted? You need to mute the person. I'm challenging. I'm here to talk about the topic, sir, and I wanted to talk about the
topic.
But I'm clear, but academically... Right. But this is crazy what he just said. Don't do that because it's just not true politically. What do we have shows for? We talk about black people every day. Who are we talking about? I guarantee you we're talking about community. When Joe speaks about the white, when he says, listen, white people are not going to make you learn that, he's talking about a certain group, a community of people. This is no brain. And I just want to say, Ted Dudiak, you said that I'm talking stupid. Challenge what I said politically and concept-wise. I'm ready for you.
And there wasn't anything that the guy said that Michael didn't say the last 30 seconds of his fucking monologue. So who is this fucking guy anyway? Every time I go on a black show and you keep talking about black community, it's usually understood. Now all of a sudden there's going to be
right, this big Gregory guy. And now, and guess what, now he's saying, and listen, Joe, and now, and Joe, now listen, 5 years ago he was saying it's sad that us black kids are getting locked up with little 5 bags of weed and can't get jobs. Now that the government, United States, is doing what Jamaica is not doing, legalizing marijuana. Now he's saying, oh, they spraying chemicals on to dumb down people. No. Now that it's legal, you won't have people spraying illegal dumb shit on it. They're growing it legally. So, I mean, it's all crazy, man. It's people well, listen to him for talking points. They'll listen to him for talking points, Joe.
Everybody's got to spend 3 hours on one fucking word. 3 hours on a word.
He's respected. Well, let me say this to Joe. And I've been on shows with Joe. And to me, what the fuck is he even doing, particularly when if we want to talk about black issues, what the fuck is he even doing?
Oh, you and your fucking black issues. Yeah. I don't even know who the fuck you are.
Yeah, well, get off the fucking line, man. Well, get off the fucking line.
I don't even know who you are.
Well, get off the land.
What?
What the fuck are you doing? If we want to talk about black issues,
oh,
that's
yeah,
the purpose
if you
of this
on black issues.
Well, get off the fucking...
Every day it's got to be
the
same
ass off the line, man.
Black
get your
issues.
Right ass off the line.
What is a black issue to you? Tomorrow will be a fucking different definition.
Hey, I don't even want to talk to you.
Well, you shouldn't talk to me, because if I did talk to you, your fucking brain would explode. Now, there's fucking a what? Black community today. Jesus.
Well, I just wanted to say something else about Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass, he was a good guy, but he was an orator just going around speaking. But he just said something that was untrue. He was getting paid by the anti-slavery society. And he just wrote and said that the Constitution, before their amendments, was an anti-slavery document. That's just not true. And I think that anybody should educate their kids on that point. When he was, and I'm just challenging on this concept, no, it was a slavery document. Look at the Three-Fifths Clause. What do you think about that, Cloud Nation?
I mean, I think a lot of great input has been put across. I was personally, when I played the Gregory clip in, I really wanted to look at some of the principles, not so much embrace all of his ideas, but the specific idea about self-empowerment as far as starting your own businesses, creating your own wealth, those sorts of things were the interesting principles that he expounded on. Me personally, I could listen to a lot of people that I disagree with and still find, some value in some of the comments, whether it's something not to do or to do. So I can listen to someone objectively and still not embrace the totality of the ideology that they may preach. So for me, I'm not I wouldn't say that I'm a Dick Gregoryite Marcus, a Douglassite or any of the, a lot of the people, but there are different principles that some people have that might resonate with me, and then there are some of their thoughts that I don't agree with. Now, when it comes to the community concept, I agree with you that, you can't say that a community doesn't exist because if you continue to talk about empowering or growing or improving something, it has to exist. You can't talk about something that doesn't exist unless it exists, So unless you're talking about creating something from thin air, that like an invention of sorts. But when you start to classify people in the context of communities based on the various definitions that I've seen in books, and even when you look back to some of the cultural principles of people in Africa in yesteryear, earlier in history, you still see many of those principles that are where we get the definition of community today. So, So I'm not, like I said, I don't buy into everything he says. But I just thought it was interesting. The interview as a whole was interesting to me. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah.
And the Constitution wasn't pro-slavery.
Frederick Douglass didn't
Wait, say
think
that again,
the Constitution
sir.
Was anti-slavery.
I said the Constitution was
you,
not
listen to me.
Pro-slavery.
Yes.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Antoinette. Well,
how you doing, Antoinette?
I'm well, thank you, and yourself, Pianki. Hello, Cloud Nation and all folks.
How you doing? Well, he got paid to speak on the topic, whether it was slavery or...
Yeah, somebody played a clip about Frederick Douglass about Independence Day, and I think, if my memory serves me clearly, that he didn't think of it as a anti-slavery document. As a matter of fact, when he made the speech, he sounded like he was insulted to have been even invited to this particular gathering because it was a July 4th Independence thing that he thought, why are you inviting me here when I'm from a group of people that you clearly wanted to enslave?
All mics are open.
Right. And then
I'm
that's
just letting
why
everybody
I say,
know their mics are open.
And then, see, that's why I say academically, just when you look at the three-fifths clause, it's a group of people looking at another group of people, so we're not united, so the document, and they say, well, we have to do a special math formula for this crisis, for this little, you know, sore eye that we have. But we need those people, too. That's right there says that you're separating a group of people. They were not a part of the franchise, which
exactly.
shows
yeah,
that you're admitting
right.
slavery. Just on the three-fifths clause, Pianki?
Three-fifths clause didn't have nothing to do about what you just said.
Yes, it does. You're going to talk
not.
About because I know because
three-fifths
about
three-fifths clause
the,
had to do about voting.
That is correct.
Well,
Pianki is correct.
Someone is, no, this is what they taught you to say. We understand
ain't
that
told
it was,
me to say anything.
We understand
I said
that
it
was about the representatives and the House of Representatives.
Had nothing to do about making people slaves.
Yes, they did. Because, okay, why didn't I? Okay, why didn't they?
Let's
that
have a poll on
voting.
Here. All those
that
say that
voting.
The three-fifth clause has something to do about making a person a slave, say yay.
No, it didn't.
No,
why don't you try to explain it to him for 45 minutes?
No, I know it.
I have listened to you try to explain it to him, and if you couldn't, ain't nowhere
Nation.
In the world
I
am.
I was making a joke. Can I explain my point,
Cloud Nation, please?
Well,
so
I,
you got voted down, Mike. You still arguing.
Can I
revisit
something that y'all were talking about before you got to the three-fifths clause and everything. When you were speaking about Elder Dick Gregory and the marijuana not being sprayed, Mike, I put a link in the chat room. The marijuana is being sprayed. Monsanto has taken over marijuana, which was one of the reasons why I...
You have private growers, man. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm looking at your thing in the chat. That's
this is private growers, man.
Right.
Santos don't
that's
own everything. A lot of people grow on their own
Monsanto
weed.
Monsanto has the seeds. Monsanto
no, they don't.
Is a part
maybe,
of their
maybe
brand.
You're,
the
maybe
Kentra.
Uruguay, but they don't.
Beasley.
They don't control. You don't even
Beasley.
Smoke weed. You don't
no,
even smoke
I don't.
Weed.
I don't have to
yeah,
smoke
well,
weed.
Yeah, well, I do.
Well,
and I live
you.
In California.
Continue to smoke it.
Yeah,
you
but I know what I'm talking about.
Okay,
you
know what, Beasley. Do you mind if I say something without being interrupted?
But you're wrong, though. Go ahead and say it.
Thank you.
Make
now,
it quick.
The chemtrails is spraying everything. Just like with tobacco, once they take the tobacco, they take it and they spray it with chemicals. One of the reasons why I disagreed with marijuana being legalized was because Monsanto and other companies were going to get away with this kind of stuff. I said to decriminalize it so that people could have it freely if they so choose to. But if you have, all you have to do is use Google. Make Google your best friend. Look
right.
it up. There's plenty of other sites where you can see where Monsanto has taken it over. If you still have seeds that have not been,
people, there
excuse
have private
me,
growers.
I'm not done. If you have seeds that are has not been tainted, then I suggest that you keep them. But
when was the last time you grew some weed?
You know what? I've never grown weed. But I know even though I have a garden, that my garden still gets affected by chemicals because they spray chemtrails.
Well, I'll say this about these. You know, Dr. Amos Wilson, he spoke about this, the conspiracy theory side of it. He said one of the reasons why he never really dealt with it too much is because two reasons. One, first of all, more likely than shit you can do about it. That's the first thing. And we always just secondhand like these damn movie critics explaining somebody else's conspiracy. Where's our damn conspiracy theories? I mean, every week we on a new conspiracy theory. And we can't do shit about it. So I never understood why is that a topic of discussion, exposing European conspiracies, whether it be true or false. What you going to do about it?
Well, some is just to educate yourself. And then there are some things that you can try to prevent from for yourself, you know, at least for it affecting you and your family.
Right, but you want the truth, though. You don't want propaganda. I'm saying when it's talking about, like in my state of Maryland, in my state of Maryland, they're about to decriminalize, and they're talking about people can grow up to 6 plants. We can grow them themselves. Now, according to you, we can't eat nothing because everything is chemtrails, Antoinette.
You can eat whatever you want.
But, no, you're saying if you even grow your own stuff, you're worried about it. So if you grow your own stuff, you're worried about it. You're still worried. I'm saying you got to live.
Mike, make room for your best friend. I mean, of course you got to live. But you can still educate yourself, but that choice is yours.
Right.
You see, that choice is for anybody what they choose to do.
But connecting legalizing weed to Monsanto and saying that the weed is going to be sprayed and going to hurt people, but you're not saying that they're having proper growers, they're not spraying stuff, they have a situation
so
where they,
no
they don't have to rush to...
No, I'm just saying it may be, but other people have other choice to grow their own stuff.
That's all I'm saying.
And chemtrails does not affect it or anything else. So you're
in
absolutely
a greenhouse,
right.
Right, yeah, in a greenhouse, right, to grow
them. So you're not looking at the soil, you're not looking at the water, you know, but you're absolutely right. There is nothing that is going to affect your beautiful, positive world. You know, everything is seen through your rose-colored glasses, and that is what it is. Because that is how you so want to do it.
Everybody that smoke weed, Monsanto don't got involved in.
You know what, I'm not talking about just smoking weed, but, you know, just keep it your way, okay?
Oh, for God's sake.
Okay, thank you. I'm done.
You see what I mean? You see what I mean?
Jeez. You have chemtrails, which is true. And then also, just like she was talking about, you have tobacco, you have tomatoes, you have everything which is sprayed by this. 80% of what you eat in the supermarket is GMO, which means it's owned by Monsanto, and they're trying to own the human genome. Also, at the same time, you can have hybrid seeds or a non-tainted seed, I'm sure, in the future about pot. Plain and simple.
One of the most interesting things with the growing of marijuana is the fact that people do play with it and modify it genetically, and they mix strains, and that's by altering and working with the genetics with it. It's not all done for evil. They have different strains of marijuana that can have different effects on you.
And they have
people that work on it. They create all kinds of strains.
And
they,
that's
can,
Monsanto
they can mix. They can mix the properties. They mix the properties that's contained in like sour diesel, and mix it with purple Kush, and give you a whole new product, a whole new different thing. But you know, I'm gonna let her talk about it since she doesn't smoke weed or doesn't know about it, and she lives in Delaware. Got a square from Delaware trying to tell a kitty from the big city what's going down with
they're
this.
They're like saying
you know,
that the government is mass-producing weed. The government is not mass-producing weed.
Excuse me, Mike.
Don't get defensive.
Now, just because I live in Delaware,
government is experimenting to see if it works.
Because I choose not to smoke marijuana or to live in a city, that's my choice.
When
now,
they get the tax revenue,
in a square, then so much, you know, that has nothing to do with it. I do not have to be a middle-aged man running around trying to act like I'm still a child, like a teenager or a young man, and run around up in the streets and in the clubs and everything else, because I have other important things that are important to me in my life.
What does that have to do with weed?
Because I choose to have a clear mind.
Yeah, Granny.
Okay, don't smoke cigarettes.
Monsanto has been had a patent on marijuana. And let me tell you one thing. I have relatives that are growers, and they grow their shit in a greenhouse or in a house or outside. All weed is not sprayed.
Okay.
Tell them, Granny. Tell them. Speak them
facts. It's not. I got family relatives that's finna open a weed club, and they been growers, and they ain't spraying nothing on that weed.
And she grow anywhere, everywhere. We grow anywhere. Damn. She talking about gotta spray something.
I just had to call in the ad that, not, internet, she is correct, but not about the whole crop.
And that's why the
grow
things being old. Some with
you
the
don't
spray,
have to
some
just
with
grow it outside.
Well, hey, Joe, I just want to say, when they see the tax revenue, I guess next year when Colorado and Washington State come back with the tax revenue, we're going to see how many states start passing. Now, watch, wait till that money come back. Wait till they tie that dough up.
The states that have already passed it, I'm surprised.
Right. But they ain't get that yearly salary yet.
Don't you know marijuana is one of the biggest money-making industries in California? And that's because they are taxing the hell out of it.
What'd they do to it?
She said they tax it.
Oh, they tax it. Oh. Yeah, well, they'll probably get everybody growing marijuana. Then
they tax
after,
everything.
After everybody becomes a legal grower, they'll probably criminalize it again, have everybody go to jail for it.
Yeah, but they taxing the mess out of it, but you're still getting it cheap on the street price. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, something legalized, you're going to get it cheaper than something that's illegal. I mean, it's just for fact.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I mean, weed grows anywhere. I mean, it just grows. It's crazy. So it's a good crop. But they stopped it because of the hemp, not because of the weed. If you go back and do your research, they stopped it because of the hemp.
Well, that's true.
Not because of the weed.
Hemp was too much of a in competition with every other product that was out there, with DuPont.
Yeah, with DuPont.
Did you hear the one about just yesterday, the 9-year-old ratted out her parents for growing pot? She walked over to the police station and said, "My parents are growing pot in the cellar," because she didn't like the smoke. Now that's something else.
You know, but that's what they're learning from in schools,
is
to report.
I'm just saying, a nicotine smoker cannot talk about a marijuana smoker. I mean,
you know,
a smoker should not talk about another smoker and saying
it's
bad
or
illegal.
I'm
just speaking in general. Oh, I didn't know you
marijuana.
Smoked. I didn't know you smoked marijuana.
I don't care if anybody smokes marijuana. That's their business. That's their choice.
How did
you know,
get
if
on?
You heard what I said at first, I said I was against it being legalized. It should be decriminalized.
How did y'all get on nicotine?
I don't know.
Yeah, the silence is deafening. How about that?
Man, it's been interesting so far. We also played a couple of clips earlier, and yesterday we were talking about who owns America, and I know everybody has different thoughts on that. And I want to pose that same question to you guys: who do you guys say own America?
Lobbyists, if not the lobbyists, the Rothschilds, not American people. Any other different point of view?
Yeah, that's what I was waiting on.
Maybe because I didn't ramble on.
And I still want to apologize to everybody for the technical issues, because sometimes I know some people have been muted on and off, and I was having an issue with Blog Talk yesterday, so we got the chat room up and running today, but you may have stuff happening with your phone, so I just wanted to give that disclaimer out there earlier.
Man, that's just my way of... telling us, all right, Cloud Nation.
Yeah.
I'm just letting you know, it's not me.
Yeah,
it's not me, so.
Okay.
That's a gentleman's way of,
because I was
that's a gentleman's way of handling your business.
Yeah.
No, that's a gentleman's way of handling your business. I understand, bro.
Yeah, BTR issues, Cloud. Mm-hmm. Technical difficulties, yeah. Well, that's my opinion about who owns America, lobbyists or the Rothschilds. Not us, and it's not politicians.
Well, Joe, it depends on how you're looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're talking about land, it's American citizens because the government holds more land than anybody else, right?
Yeah, that's unfortunate, but who owns the government?
Well, American citizens still own the government.
Well, we think we do.
American citizens don't own the land. Look at your deed. Your deed calls you a tenant.
If the government owns the majority of the land in this.
The government owns the majority of the land in America now, I believe.
Well, look at your deed. You don't own your own land, which you think is your own. Look at your deed.
True.
Your deed calls you a tenant.
Well, I don't know about that.
My deed don't call me a tenant.
Yes, it does.
No,
look
it don't.
On there, and it calls you a tenant.
I'm looking. It don't call me a tenant.
Okay.
I think if I own it, if someone's take it or someone tries to come in, I can kill them. I think that's ownership right there.
You know what?
Yeah, you can shoot police officers when they come in your house.
Oh, in Indiana.
Right, no warrant.
Indiana you can. The other states you'd be in trouble, but in Indiana you can. But the thing is, even if you own your property, if the government comes along and they say you've got to pay $5,000, $10,000 a year in property taxes, that to me means you own a piece of land that the government is telling you you still got to pay us. And what about the environmental
but the property
taxes?
Well, that's everywhere.
The property
taxes
go to the
Joe.
State and the local. They don't go to the federal government.
Right.
And you need permission to build anything on your land.
Real estate
on land
taxes.
Land that you supposedly own.
Right. They get a tax lien on your house.
You have to also be distinctive. Use property taxes and real estate taxes are two different things.
Well, you ever buy tax liens? You ever buy tax liens, Bianchi?
No, I haven't bought no tax liens. What am I going to buy a tax lien for?
Hmm.
I mean, just think about what you say. How do you buy a tax lien?
Well, 18 months. Well, you can buy the lien in 18 months. If they don't come with the money, let's say someone owns a lien for like 500. Yeah, you can buy a tax lien and for 18 months, they charge interest on it. If the person does not pay the money with interest within 18 months, the house can be yours. Or you can go to them and say, you know what, I rent it out to you now, and this and such and such and such, and that's how you'll buy it. You can just buy tax liens. That's how they get people all the time. Mm-hmm.
So you can own property.
That's how people get
high.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
The government will come in and say, you got a mouse right next to your lawn, and you got to protect that mouse. Therefore, you can't go out into your backyard or into your community because you're going to endanger an endangered species. So who owns the land? On paper, those people who were paying the
mouse. No, I go get a cat to eat the mouse.
And then the guards will, the gendarme will come along and take you.
Build something on there without a permit. You have to get permission to build anything on the property. To add anything onto the property, you need permission.
Yeah, so you can pay for 30 years for your house.
Well, they do that. They make you do that so they can reassess the value of your property once they add-on is completed.
So it goes back to the original question. Who owns America?
Well, that's what it is. By them having you to get a permit, in the construction that you're doing, making sure that it's in line with the building codes, that's actually for the good of the whole community.
Right, exactly, because like even at a business, you can't put certain signs on your business in certain districts. You can't have your sign at a certain level, certain residential areas. You can't, you know, have your house, I guess, a certain cut, I don't know, or certain type of, you know,
yeah,
structure.
There's red districts, yeah.
So, you know, but that's what the community, I mean, it's not anarchy. I mean, I know we got rules. Some people say it's too many rules, but that's why, you know, you have to be a part of your community, I guess, organization who actually make up the rules, who actually talk to your delegates. So you have to be, in, you know, involved in them.
But
because
that's still...
Some people are making changes. If you're not making changes, some people are making changes for you.
It's still the people because you have opportunity
exactly.
to elect somebody who will go in and champion to change that law that you think is aggrieving your freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
There's one case where the city council came down on a child that had a lemonade stand in her front yard.
Yep.
Well, see, some people like Joe don't believe in voting. And that's where we have our blockage.
No, I didn't say I never believed in voting. There are a lot of other people who said they don't believe in voting. I said that the way to change the system that we have today is if millions of people went to the polls and cleaned out the Democrats and the Republicans in one fell swoop.
Right.
So I'm for voting if the Americans do it that particular way. But if they don't do it that particular way, then I take a look at the reality. And I know that we elect what they select. So, you know.
And Mike, you were right. I was saying when I said there's no such thing as buying tax lien. You can, when you don't pay your taxes, they can auction it off.
That's what I said.
On the county, county, whatever. But somebody comes along and they...
Yeah, it's a real
buy the right to your property, but they have to give you an opportunity to come in and
right,
pay
exactly. I know. Mm-hmm. Now let me ask you a question real quick. Are you in St. Louis? Is St. Louis a part of a county?
St. Louis
is, that
is
city
part of St. Louis County.
Oh, okay. Well, see, well, Baltimore is one of the cities that's not part of a county. We're an independent city.
So you can't
it
expand.
Makes it real tough. No. And check this out here locally. The county, which is a big, you know, prestige and has more money, they get their water from Baltimore City. They pay less water bill than Baltimore City residents.
Well, St. Louis City is a political entity in its own, but its county seat is St. Louis County.
Hmm.
If you look at a map, you'll see that the state is divided up in counties, and cities do reside within those
in
counties
county, right.
Where they do have their city limits, too.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know. But, yeah, voting is very important. If you look at the amendments, they have three amendments directly talking about voting. And our Constitution shows us it's very important. But people will control their minds. They use that money to control the minds and the masses, you know?
Yeah, well, that's why people are who they are. If we had, as a group, as American citizens, if we actually had our own minds and knew what we were thinking about, we wouldn't give a rat's ass how many millions of dollars would be poured into super PACs because we just wouldn't take a look at the commercials and pay attention to them. So it wouldn't even matter. But people in
like they done that Richardson gal in Texas who poured millions into her campaign. She got beat by a person that hardly had nothing.
Same thing with Cantor.
But I just want to say, though, but I mean, logically, you guys, logically and politically, for society had to have a prison system on the stock market. That goes against the whole system, right? That whole goes against the whole, what? That's crazy.
No, it's not the prison system. When they do that, it means it's owned by the public then.
But the public, but you know, as a business owner, stocks, its value is basically on what the future estimations of that. It's not actual. It's future predictions. So you have to predict that stock is going to do well in the future. You don't want to predict that the prison system is going to do well in the future. You want to minimize psychologically and logically that's come on, Bianchi. Let's just
well, the same thing. Why should you own stock in a bank? There used to be a time that you would buy stock in a company that was manufacturing or producing, and as their production and manufacture increased, the value of their stock would increase. That was a formable way of owning part of a company. But now, like you mentioned, with the prisons that's going public with their entities.
Well, yeah, well,
you're absolutely right. In order for their value to go up, they have to increase their product, which is housing people.
Yeah, that's what the point he was trying to get to.
Yeah, that's the dilemma. That's the problem. They see you got crybabies on either side. But just like you have the government subsidizing tobacco growers and then subsidizing cancer research. If that ain't ass backwards.
Yeah, that is kind of wacky, isn't it?
You see, well, that's free market capitalism. Now, why would you be surprised that incarceration is turning into an industry? This is capitalism. Everything eventually turns into an industry. So now we can't cry. Now we can't cry because they hustling these people you said is in the black community into these, and then you said, well, I'm gonna let. See how confused the shit we. You see what I'm saying? That's against the system. Now that ain't the craziest damn thing I just heard. That is the system.
Well, get used to it. That's exactly the system.
That's right.
We have legislation that was introduced. The congressmen, they voted on it, and they approved it, and then private industry does what the law allows them to do.
Okay, but see, the prison system, you should maintain the level of prisoners, or you should decrease. It should be maintained or decreased, never
we want to prevent
the action from ever happening. This is crazy. That is crazy.
Why does someone have to be crazy? Because they're making
that
a point.
That is a sick, that's a chaotic mind. Listen to what
you're
saying.
What's a chaotic mind?
We want prevention. We do not. We want to prevent people from killing or having to steal to murder for somebody. Why do people steal and murder? Because they don't have. Why do people steal? Because they don't have. Why do Aoff do what he did? Because he's greedy and shit. Someone taught us.
Who are you speaking for, man?
How about them
80 shootings?
How about
the 80? Can
I speak? You're on, man.
Yeah, go ahead. Let us speak. It's going. How much time we got left in the show?
Well, I'm used to radio. I've been on radio, C-SPAN, and everywhere else. I know how long to talk, when to start, and when to stop. But the question I have, you speak of prisons now. They got private prisons. That's what's on the market. So, and then the Bush is owning part of the prison, and then that's what I'm not understanding. And then you creating people to put in them, and then you can tell how many people got to go there, and you have people upset with the government, but some people are upset with the government for the wrong reason. So that's not what I'm understanding, because I'm going to explain that one to you.
But see, the bottom line is, it's an industry. And so that means there are interest groups who make money off of crime. Now, it can't be no more damn rompering simple than that. There are interest groups who make money off of crime. They take that money, create lobbyists to make so that that industry survives. And if that means we need some bodies, then they plan on getting bodies for it. Now, who cares about that?
Everybody can't own one. It's just like everybody can't own a liquor store. They can't own a prison. And if everybody can own one equally because they want to, but it's not happening that way. You got a certain group of people that can have the private prison. But you can buy stock in it now, and that's the only way you're going to get ownership now.
That's what I was about.
But the option was, those prisons do contracts with states. So the option was then the state would have to take on the burden to build those prisons, which they didn't have the money to do. And then the people of the state would have to pay for it by way of taxes. So they either did it that way, raising everybody's taxes, or lease out to the state, let a private entity build a prison and lease it to the state for a certain number of years. So it was one way or the other.
Well, they got both. They got all three. They got state, federal, and private.
I don't think the federal government utilized private prisons. Somebody might correct me.
They have private prisons. They got state, federal, and private. That's what's on the market is the private prisons.
No, I see. I don't think the federal government utilized private prisons. I think they have their own prisons.
That's what I'm saying. So if you have one of the private prisons and make people come change in your prison, but they won't let you have one, they want to have one so they can get cheap labor.
What he's saying is that private prisons are not utilized by the federal government.
That's what I'm saying. But you have them, and then you have the people in the federal government that's owning them, which is not right.
Well, you can own them if you buy the stock. I didn't even know they were on the stock exchange.
You know, see, Dan, the white boy that's under now just got through talking. He got a problem when we want to talk about black community, and we make up 99% of the, 98 or somewhere in the 90s of the prison population. We need to be talking about community. And you need to keep your white ass off the line.
I should do what now?
Michigan
so
man.
When you're talking about black issues, you keep your white ass off the line.
Nobody's saying don't talk about black issues. So talk about the black issues.
Yeah, Joe's a good friend of all of ours.
Yeah, the slave master was a good friend of the house nigga.
Oh, God. You're nothing but a defeatist, a loser.
But what I want to understand is why so many people are upset at the government and they're benefiting from it, but they're upset with it. That's not what I'm understanding. I mean, I'm hearing, but in things in the government, everybody can't purchase. Some people can, some people can't. And half of them sitting up there in the Congress, and then they arguing over them each and every day, a blue state and a red state. That's what I'm not getting. And they're two of the same token.
What's a dog and pony show, Mace?
Why everybody's so upset
mirrors.
About it?
It's smoke and mirrors. It's there to make people think that the government is doing something, when in reality, the government isn't doing anything positive for people at all.
Hello, am I muted?
I don't know if you guys. I don't know if you guys went into the chat room lately, but I put a couple of links up, and one was a link from yesterday, and we brought up living off the grid, and that was a real brief discussion we had. And since you guys talked about trusting government and or not trusting government, there was a lady in Florida in the article who was brought under fire by the court system in Florida because she decided not to be dependent on the various forms of energy that are government-based. So she decided to use her own energy, electricity, water, and other alternative forms of energy, and she was penalized for this. And so that it's a case that's in court as we speak. And so I wanted to ask you guys, what's your thoughts on living off the grid?
You should live off the grid as much as possible. If you can get your own independent energy sources, and if you don't have to depend upon the state utilities or anything else that's owned by the government, why not?
While you live off a grid, no ambulance, you're going to call, you're going to take care of all your cell phones. What does it mean living off the grid really mean? I mean, are you in Alaska? I I mean, do you have rules? Is the military actually protecting you if another country comes and take over this country? What do you mean living off the grid means? Having no contact with no other human being or no other resource?
Oh, wow.
What's a Bambaland?
It's like the Amish live. They don't. The way the Amish people live. So she, if they she
Mr.
take them to court,
I don't understand you.
What's a Bambaland? You said Bambaland. What's a Bambaland?
Okay. Play back the tape. It's on the archives.
Why don't you just answer it? Why do you mispronounce so many words and try to act like you're smart when you're really not?
I don't understand what you're talking about, Ted Dudiak. Listen, if I mispronounce
you don't understand
words,
what I'm talking about.
Mean,
you don't understand
you,
a lot of things.
That's communicated. Guess what? You're mad because
why
I questioned
are you getting
if
agitated
I'm mad.
Right
if you
now.
Correct me, that means you understood what I meant.
I don't think you're very smart.
That's
a lot
fact.
Of people think
that is a fact. That is a fact. But guess what? You just said I answered every question.
Are you an idiot, yes or no?
Ted Dudiak, I answered all your questions, Ted Dudiak.
Are you an idiot? I didn't hear you. Yes
Why
or no?
Why is Univision on a political platform?
How is
Keep on saying
platform?
I'm an idiot.
You said Univision.
Okay, what do you want to talk about? Listen, it is crazy. You are like a nut
hold
in
on,
the
hold
nut
on,
house
hold on. What is
looking
that,
at
lad?
All the rest of the nuts and saying, I am not nutty, I'm normal. Won't you just get with the conversation and stay on topic? Stop saying
oh,
that
DPR I'm taking advice from
nuts,
a low socioeconomic failure like you that
no, you don't know nothing about me, Ted Dudiak.
Sexual deviancy and drug use?
You don't know nothing about me, Ted Dudiak.
I absolutely
you,
do. I've got your divorce record right here. You
okay,
haven't paid
okay,
child support
good.
In 6 years. Your wife doesn't even want to bother with you. Your ex-wife doesn't even want to bother with you.
Wow. This man is up here telling my trying to save my life
right
on
here.
Air. This is a lie. This man
it's not
is
a
disgusting.
Lie. It's the fucking
Ted
truth.
Dudiak, look,
you don't
look
pay
it up.
Child support.
Spread it out.
And your wife, your ex-wife, doesn't want to have anything to do with you, doesn't even ask you for child support. You have
That's
nothing
right.
to do
wow.
with your children's
she
lives.
She got the divorce
you spend
in Texas.
More time on BTR than you do with your children.
And she got, Mike,
these,
that's true. You know you got the, your wife gave you
these
the divorce, I think,
crazy.
In the state of Texas.
Wow.
Is that right?
That's
basically,
where we got the paperwork from. And
okay, go ahead.
He spends more time on BTR than he spends with his
Why
children.
Why is it anybody's business? What,
wow,
private
these people.
Life
listen,
no,
these
it
people
ain't private. It's public when it goes to the court.
Listen
it's public
to
information.
Listen,
it's
what,
public.
What
in the world
can never stay on topic. Listen to Ted. Ted Dudiak can never stay on topic. Exactly. They don't know nothing about me. They wish they come from school.
I got the paperwork right here. How
I
much
know
do you
more
want to
about
bet?
Them
Why don't you bet me all
know.
The money you have in the world?
Go ahead and bet
Why don't you sell everything
statue.
That you own and get the $400 together, and then we'll bet it?
No, I don't have to do. You owe me $10,000 from the three branches of government, and it's recorded on this show. You dumb fuck. You don't know shit about
I've,
me. Chase
I've been wanting
yet.
To ask you about
the
that.
The mad is a dumb fuck. You're
why
mad
you,
as shit
why do you
because
spend
you
your
think
time someone owes you. If I owe you $10,000, why aren't you trying to collect it? Why haven't you served me with any paperwork or anything? Hello. Hello. Hello.
Are you having fucking difficulties, Claudia?
I love it. I love it.
But
wow.
do you think that you're doing
this
your
man
teenage
comes on
children's
BTR
son
every day?
Do you think you're doing your teenage sons a service by spending more
you
time on
know.
BTR than you do spend with your children?
Shit about me. You don't even know if I got teenage sons.
I know
sons.
That
That's
you spend more time on BTR than you do with your children. Would you deny
you
that?
You don't know nothing about me. You don't know my children's schedule. You don't you know nothing about me.
You don't know
me,
your
Ted.
Children's schedule. You probably don't even
Ted
know what they look like.
You
if
don't
they
know
probably
shit,
would walk
Ted
right past
Dudiak.
You in the street. Do you
Ted
think they
Dudiak.
Really, do you
Ted
think
Dudiak.
You're someone that they look up to and admire and that they want to be like you when they grow up?
Listen, this is...
Do you think your sons consider you a hero and they want to be like you when you grow up?
This is a topic-oriented show, and this is what
We're
this crazy
the topic
doing.
To
he's
you.
Trying to.
Since
do,
you,
no,
since
it's not
know,
because
since
it's
you're
not
one
me.
Of the focal point of the you're conversation.
Not. No, I'm not the focal point. We were talking about the Constitution, property taxes, and it turned into me because guess what? You just can't scratch your head that you're not smarter than me. You're mad as fuck, and you speak the It King's language very well, Ted Dudiak.
I don't know what happened, but what else? It looks like we have I don't know if people are dropping off, what's going on. I know there's a lot of private callers, so it's hard to know who's who, and I know lines are bouncing in and out, coming in and out, so I'm trying to figure out what's going on with some of the
sounds. Hey, this is what happens. We don't have a centered show. Let's see, what's next? Sweet potato pie. What's the next topic?
Well, I'm going out and celebrate. They had two reports. One come out on Zimbabwe that it's the tobacco crop brought in close to $700 million, which was produced by over 106,000 indigenous farmers rather than the few white farmers that it had been done in the past. That equates to about $61,000 per farmer. In Zimbabwe, that's pretty good money. It's helped to increase their middle class. And also another report came out showed what Tony Blair was lying when he said they was imposing sanctions and boycotts on Robert Mugabe's private property that he had in the UK, which he did not.
Well, a lot of people be telling lies about good stuff and complaining. So you gave us some good news today, Pianki.
I know, Maze. I'm still looking forward to chicken and dumplings, okra and candy yams and cornbread.
Okay, so take your wife to somebody that can teach
no,
you.
No, I'm coming down to Alabama. I want some Alabama chicken and dumplings.
You
and Maze, you know how to make them. Me, you, your husband at the table. I'm going to be the guest.
Really? Just invite
yes.
yourself to my house, huh?
I know you know how to make them, too.
Well, you'll be waiting a long time. But as I was saying...
Well, it's going to be you and my grandson, too, because I told him that if he really wants some good chicken and dumplings, he's got to go down south.
Well, you better take him. They got restaurants.
No, Maze, why do you want to throw me off to one of them restaurants? They may not be clean.
I don't live in Alabama. If I did, that would be a whole different story, but I don't live there, so I can't cook you something in a place I don't live in. But I can come to your house and teach your wife how to cook it, and you will love her more for learning how.
Well, when she comes here, we may have to make that arrangement.
I teach my nephews how to cook over the phone when they want to learn how to do a recipe that I know how to do, so that's how I give it to them, and they learn how to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So tell your wife to dial my number, and she can cook you some dumpling or whatever you see it. But we're not having a cooking show.
It's always time for eating.
Not necessarily.
Sometimes
you have to fast and not eat.
I agree with you there. But when you go
you
to an important
your brain
meeting,
and your body, and then you can think clearly. And some of
the
stuff. The
best way to get people to show up is offer them some good food.
Oh, really? Well, Pianki, what's your favorite Southern food, since you want to talk about food? It must be chicken and dumpling.
Well, my favorite is always has something to do with vegetables.
Crowder
peas, black-eyed peas. See, my grandmother used to prepare chicken and dumplings, used to have that combination, and I remember mm-hmm. And the cornbread was thick and heavy. It wasn't this Jiffy-made stuff.
That's not good cornbread, thick and heavy. I made
yes,
some yesterday. And I made some greens with cabbage and kale and I did the cornbread and I did what else did I do? Something you probably would love, but I have to teach your wife how to do it. Since she loves Alabama food so well.
Watching what you do. Human behavior, that's what I like. Humans do some really interesting things. Like, besides killing ourselves, we also kill each other. Murder. And we're the only ones who do that, by the way. Humans are the only species on Earth that deliberately kills members of another species for personal gain. for pleasure. Sometimes it's just fun. We're also the only species that deliver the killed rabbits of another species for personal gain or pleasure. That's what hunters do. They kill for pleasure. That's us, human beings, interesting folks, murderers. Here's an interesting form of murder we come up with, assassination. You know what's interesting about assassination? Well, not only does it change those popularity polls in a big fucking hurry, but it's also interesting to notice who it is we assassinate. Children knows who it is, stop to think who it is we kill. It's always people who told us to live together in harmony and try to love one another. Jesus, Gandhi, Lincoln, John Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, John Lennon, they all said, try to live together peacefully. Bam! Right in the fucking head. Apparently we're not ready for that. Yeah, that's difficult behavior for us. Not too bright, folks. Not too fucking bright. But if you talk to one of them about this, a guy says one of them, you sit him down rationally and you talk to him about the low IQs and the dumb behavior and the bad decisions, right away they start talking about education. That's the big answer to everything. Education. They say we need more money for education. We need more books, more teachers, more classrooms, more schools. We need more testing for the kids. You say to them, well, you know, we've tried all of that and the kids still can't pass the test. He said, oh, don't you worry about that. We're going to lower the passing grades. That's what they do in a lot of these schools now. They lower the passing grades so more kids can pass. More kids pass, the school looks good, everybody's happy, the IQ of the country slips another 2 or 3 points, and pretty soon all you'll need to get into college is a fucking pencil. Got a pencil? Get the fuck in there. It's physics. And everyone wonders why 17 other countries graduate more scientists than we do. Education. Politicians know that word. They use it on you. Politicians have traditionally hidden behind three things: the flag, the Bible, and children. No child left behind. No child left behind. Oh, really? Well, it wasn't long ago we were talking about giving kids a head start. Head start? Left behind? Someone's losing fucking ground here. But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The big, the wealthy, the real owners, the big, wealthy businesses that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. They're an irrelevant thing. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the State Houses, and City Hall. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media news, all the big media companies, so they control just about all the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interests. That's right. You know something? They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. You know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later. But they own this fucking place. It's a big club. And you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long. They tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hard-working people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hard-working people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. That's what the honor is telling us, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the honors of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, but you have to be asleep to believe it. But say what you want about America, folks.
Yeah.
You can say what you want about Americans. You can call them smart, young, ignorant, innocent, naive, gullible, even whatever you want. You're going to have to deal with them. You're going to have to deal with them because you're in the television business now. You've got the all-suicide channel on cable TV. If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about.
American democracy is what we call a guided democracy in countries that we don't like Iran. So in Iran, elections are putting aside, you know, questions of the credibility of elections. Elections are, the candidates are vetted by the leadership, the clerical leadership, guardian council decides who can run. Okay? So we're pretty much the same. Here, candidates are vetted by the corporate interests. And the way it's done is that unless you have huge corporate financing and support, you just can't run. I mean, Obama won over McCain primarily because the financial institutions liked him better. So poured money into his campaign much more than McCain. And if you check funding and polls, you find that the advertising and so on, in fact, carried him over the edge. And that's true all the way along. I mean, elections are basically bought. Congress, for example, has a very low ranking among the population. It's in the teens sometimes. Nevertheless, the overwhelming majority of incumbents win. What does that tell you? It tells you people are voting for candidates that they don't like because they're on their choice. That's these are fundamental defects in the democratic system. It's a huge democratic deficit, as it's called, and it shows up. There's a very sharp division between public policy and public attitudes on a host of major issues. And in fact, both political parties are well to the right of the population on a great number of critical issues. The population feels can't do anything about it. So, for example, I suppose I saw about this, about 80% of the population said the government doesn't work for the people. It works for a few big interests looking out for themselves. 80% of the population. But if you had asked the next question, they didn't do it. Well, what are you going to do about it? People probably would have said, well, I can't do anything. There's no way to do anything about the fact that the government's in the pockets of the rich. And a few big interests, corporate interests primarily. That feeling of helplessness, impotence, you know, that everything was run by somebody else, I can't do anything about it, that reflects a democratic deficit. These are enormous problems with the way the democratic system functions. I mean, there's something similar in most places, but the United States is pretty extreme in this regard. Among the industrial democracies.
Hi, I'm Dr. Boyce Watkins from YourBlackWorld.com. You know that I have a tremendous amount of admiration for Dr. Jawan Sikunjufu, whom I consider to be the foremost authority on the development and education of black youth. He's not just an educator, he is a well-educated individual and an empowered individual who has a lot of important knowledge that if you haven't become aware of this, I think you should go out and become aware of it, and you should definitely check out his books. Dr. Sikunjufu has honored me with some time to talk about his latest book, and it's called Changing School Culture for Black Boys. And I've got Dr. Sikunjufu on the line. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm
I'm doing real well, boys, and we have a mutual admiration for each other because I truly respect your work, not only in the area of economics, but politics and cultural development and education, the work you're doing with regards to media, keeping us informed. I mean, if anyone has created a 27-hour day where you start in New York and end up in L.A., you have truly found a way to get as much out of the day as possible. So I really respect the great work that you're doing.
Well, I really appreciate that, you know, and I have to, I tell people every chance I get that, you know, that if I didn't have an individual like yourself to look up to, individuals like Reverend Jackson and Ms. Farrakhan, all of them are right there in Chicago, you know, there's no way I'd be the way that I am because, as you know, as a fellow PhD in business, you know, the people with degrees like the ones that we have are told to do other things with their lives. They're kind of extracted from their communities. And seeing you come back to your community and not just say that I'm a proud black man, but to say I'm a proud black man working for black people and black boys and men and et cetera, I mean, that, I think, it really creates a pathway, you know, almost like walking through the woods and having somebody clear the path for you. So so I appreciate your work. Now, I want to ask you,
technical issues may be over. I'm not sure. Hopefully they are. I'm making people's mics hot right now. You're live on the air. Right. 215-870, you guys are live on the air.
Hello.
Yeah. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. We're getting through the weather and the storm of the technical glitches. But we might be back in order. I don't know. I hope so. So I'm trying to open up mics. Open up the mics. So people are trying to see. I see several hands up, so I've opened up a couple mics. And so far, I don't see anybody participating yet, but we have a lot of hands up. It's interesting. Several callers with their hands up. But no one's talking.
Hello.
I've never seen that before.
Hello.
It's amazing.
Maybe
who is that? That's
Here. I've always been here. You know, Meg, you do such a good job. You're a top oriented guy. You know, I don't know how old you are, but it's sad for you to have a show that's topic oriented and you know, people with delusions. You know, just interrupting your show. It's sad. It's pitiful. But it is what it is, bro.
I appreciate it. Did you have any thing? I know we're getting closer to the closing hours, but did you have any specific thing you wanted to talk about?
No, I mean it was some nice clips that you played. You know, basically, it's just this philosophy that that people have about, you know, it's just basically a group of elite who actually program everybody to do certain things, and they have their little people that they hire to control people's minds. Those people that control people's minds under them, and then the mass of the people are just zombies. Just like Pianchi was trying to say, and, you know, he's lying about my life. It's pitiful for him to do that. But he was saying that how the people can have control. The only way that people can have control is to know the truth, to not to be a zombie, to not to be blind, to not to, you know, to try to be a programmer instead of being programmed, to start educating yourself. To start questioning and have critical thinking, You want to have critical thinking, not on propaganda, but critical thinking on what the, I guess, facts are. So I guess that's how the, you know, the people can't control the quote-unquote elite. So we just keep talking about this elite control. What are we going to try to do to take some back of, you know, the control of the people, so to speak? Because all power is given, and it's given by other people. Can't have no power without other people giving it to you. So that's basically what I wanted to say.
Well, hello. Can I speak? Hello?
Yeah, your mic is up.
Sometimes some people get misunderstanding, and then they have something that they have a hold to, but they don't understand what it is, and then they need to sit back and look at it and see, am I really doing what I'm doing for a good reason, or am I doing it to hurt, or am I doing it to help? And sometimes you have an agitator in the middle, and you need to figure out and see what's really wrong and sell it. But if you're not looking at what's really going on and not listening, and some people can listen and see that some it might be a mistake that's being made in the midst of the whole thing.
And I just want to say, Ted Dudiak, with all that money, please get some kids and go get a wife and some pussy. You have a nice day.
But Mike, can you hear me? I guess he hung up. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm listening. I was waiting. I thought we have the mics of several people open right now. So
sometimes a misunderstanding can get straightened out if people listen to each other. But if you don't listen and you want to go point, and you're not looking at what's going on, you might miss the whole thing that happened.
That makes perfect sense. I know tomorrow we're going to be talking about guns and violence. How do we stop it? So we're going to talk about some of the statistics, some of the information and some ideas that people have regarding how guns are being trafficked into the U.S. We're going to have a couple of, you know, interesting people talking about this particular topic today. So tomorrow and Friday, I believe, we'll be talking about, guns and violence, and its impact on the country. We're going to highlight different cities and how they're dealing with the violence. So I want to thank everybody for participating today. We're coming to the closing hours of the show. So I'm going to open up everybody's mic. I'm still opening up mics and see if we could get some final thoughts from everybody before the show is done. So everybody's mic should be open by now.
Hello?
Yep. All mics are open. Anybody want to share their final thoughts before the show ends?
Well, I think this whole situation that we keep hearing, it needs to be looked at. And somebody needs to see if they're making a mistake about what they're doing. And it'll straighten out a whole lot of misunderstanding. That's all I got to say about that subject. And I'll be happy to
appreciate
talk about that tomorrow.
Awesome. Anyone else want to share their final thoughts?
Go Dodgers. Dodgers are in first place. The Oakland A's are in first place. Maybe we get an All-California World Series. That'd be a good thing.
Okay. That's an interesting final thought, but okay, we'll go with that.
You don't like the Dodgers?
They're okay. I mean, that's not my particular city, so
you're a Cub fan?
City.
You're a Cub fan?
No. I'm a Sox fan.
Oh, wow. Well, you've got to win a World Series before the Dodgers have. I mean, it's been more recent. I think you guys won in what, 2001, 2002, 98, something like that. I remember the Sox won.
I've been there before, Kaminsky Park. You had to take the train, had to walk through the projects to get to the baseball game.
You know, Ted Dudiak, you said there was a lot of crazies on here, but you're always on the crazies. You're like a nut in the nut house telling everybody that they're not crazy. But see, Ted Dudiak, you're stalking me, and it's sad and it's pitiful that you're on this show trying to talk about someone's personal information, and it shows that you're the problem of the fucking Internet. You are the crazy. It's pitiful, Ted Dudiak, and you're exposing yourself every fucking time. You have a nice time. Checkmate, bitches.
I think they changed the name from Kaminsky Park to the person in the chat room. It's not Kaminsky with a K, silly. It's Kaminsky with a C. What do they call Kaminsky Park now? They changed the name to
They changed it to U.S. Cellular Field, but we still call it
Kaminsky Park. Well, you know, one thing you know for sure is that Wrigley Field is going to stay Wrigley Field. That's a nice place to see a baseball game, kind of small. It only holds like 42,000 people. But I've been there. You get a real you get a good feeling of the game. You know, I was there in 98. You were probably a kid then. And when Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire, when they had that home run race going, you know, we didn't know that it was driven by steroids at the time. They thought the balls were juiced, but the players were juiced. But I think I saw Sammy Sosa hit home run number 56. That was a pretty exciting time. I've been to the Shedd Aquarium. You know, all those museums had a different day of the week where they were free. And the Shedd Aquarium was pretty cool. And then I went to the opening game for the Bears. Let me tell you what happened. I went there, and I was trying to buy, just one ticket. And a guy said, you know, I've got four extras and everything. I said, well, you know, I just need one. He said, here, take two. You could take somebody with you. I said that was real nice of him. And then when I got to the front of it, and when I got there, I was going to sell the two tickets to get one ticket. The guy gave me the other two tickets. So I sold the four tickets and got one ticket, and I think I made $120 and went to the game, but I didn't do it when the guy was looking. People in Chicago were pretty nice.
Yeah,
I also been deep in the hood in Chicago. I went to this club called The Click, and I saw King Bean and Bishop Magic Wand and all kind of gangsters with purple and pink and yellow alligator shoes on. That's before they got the drug indictments. They had all those drug indictments in Los Angeles. They were a little behind the times in Chicago. It was a wild scene. And it seemed like every girl, every woman in Chicago has a really, really nice backside. I'm talking about really nice, and you couldn't help but comment on it, you know? And, you know, you say it in a polite way, and they take it, you know, say like, wow, you know, they sure do build you guys nice out here in Chicago. And they'll say, you know, we corn-fed out here. We from the Midwest. Yeah, Chicago has some pretty good memories. Let me tell you what else.
Okay.
I'm just on a stream of consciousness now, you know. Let me tell you where we stayed. We stayed at the Hyatt Regency on Wacker, you know, right there by Lake Michigan. And we had the, I was a gold card member of the Hyatt. And, you know, the Hyatt is a big thing.
So you were near my house then.
Oh, you stayed down there. It's nice down there. Beautiful down there by Navy Pier and all that. But let me tell you, we stayed there and we were on the concierge level. So on the concierge level, you have to stick the key in the elevator and it opens you up on a special floor. Well, in the morning time, they had a big breakfast thing. But on Saturday and Sunday when I was there, the breakfast thing, it wasn't that crowded. But Monday morning, I walk in there hungover, right? And it's full of people. And not just regular people, you know, bougie type people. And you remember Senator Paul Simon, the one that used to wear the bow tie? I think he since died.
I think he did.
Right there in front of me. So here it is, the night before, I'm hanging out with all the underworld gangsters and everything else in Chicago at the Click. And then the next morning, I wake up and I'm having breakfast with this, way before
my time.
Well, I'm sharing it with you. This was 1990.
This is,
wow.
Man, the click
used
to pop. But the interesting thing was the contrast between hanging out there the night before and then waking up in the morning and going to have like a little breakfast in the concierge level and being there with the U.S. Senator. I've done some fun things.
Wow.
I've done some fun things in my life. And a wife and children, you know, a wife is a four-letter word, and so are kids. And I've known more guys to have more aggravation, more upset, and more problems with wives and with kids than with just about anything else.
Uh-oh.
I mean, you agree that somebody getting married to someone and deciding to want to integrate your life with theirs, that's a major undertaking, right?
Sometimes. I don't know if it's a undertaking. I know it's definitely a serious decision.
That's what I meant. A serious decision.
Yeah, it's, you know, if that's not a decision you want to take lightly, I
think it's overrated.
But Beasley.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you hear me? When some people think they are playing chess and they're not listening, they're missing the whole point. To the agitator that was in the middle of what we keep hearing. But they're not listening, and once they start listening, they'll understand where they was making a mistake and their anger was pointed at the wrong direction.
Well,
and
you know what?
Only two people can play chess, but you got four people in the chess game. But you're not focusing on what the real deal is, and you're just all over the place trying to hurt, but it's not going to work with him. So he's going to learn. You just treat him as he's your son, and he'll get the drift.
I don't mind. You know, it's mind over matter. You can tell when people are bothered, you know.
Yeah.
You just got to let them be bothered. And as far as listening, some people, you think like, oh, no, you're not listening. You didn't hear me. Some people don't, and now listen to this closely. Some people don't have the mental capability because they're like mildly retarded or they're retarded. They don't have the mental capability to process the words and understand what people are saying.
Well, you have to work with them so they can understand.
Yeah, I get.
But
I guess
they understand, when they understand,
yeah.
They want to see it's not the person that they are pointing at. Really, it's not you. Because I listened and I had heard people having conversations in the mix about Mike. You weren't saying nothing. You were not even breaking him down. But then you had other people on the chessboard talking about, well, you weren't saying anything. But then he took
it. I couldn't get in. It was muting me and unmuting me, and I was watching a YouTube video, and I got some paperwork on my desk that I'm trying to figure out how to fill it out right.
Well, y'all,
and then you look at the bottom of the paperwork, and it says, If you do this, it's penalty of perjury and this and that and the other. I'm like, oh, it's not worth it even trying to even think about being somewhat slick.
No, yes, but it just needs to stop so he can get a grip.
Oh, well, you know, everybody.
Stop it.
Everybody has to move on their own,
yeah.
On their own path length. I mean, there's
some people get it too late.
Some people never get it. You just got to let them do it their own way. You know what? If somebody were my child, I'd probably be patient with it and take time because I have a vested interest. But as far as just a voice on these internet chat lines,
mm-hmm.
You just got to keep it in perspective.
Well, yes, you do.
Some
of them I take in. Some of them you have to take in and help them.
Well, you're might be a little bit more of a loving soul than me.
Okay. Well, that's what it is.
I mean, I guess. I mean, because, you know, if some people, I tried to tell them on another show, I mean, you got to realize that if some of you guys got, like, ran over by a truck, you know, or if somebody broke into your house and chopped you up in little pieces and everything, it's not really going to affect my life one way or another.
Well, no, because you just go on about your life eating and everything. But you're just a person that you've seen a lot and you've done a lot and you like to express it and tell people about it.
Yeah,
and
well,
can have a communicate. I mean, you can communicate with anybody if they take the time to let it happen. And some get mad, and some don't. It depends on what the conversation is.
Not everybody is emotionally equipped
yeah.
to handle these type of platforms. You are.
Yes, because I've been around. I've been on radio, real radio,
right.
Talk radio. I've been around everywhere.
And you're rarely bothered. I don't see you bothered too often.
No.
Even when that man was saying all the most horrible things in the world.
He didn't bother me.
No, I said even then I didn't see it change you too much. You understand
no.
That's more of a reflection of him. And I don't dislike that man.
No, you
but,
don't.
You know, but everybody has their own shortcomings and flaws.
Well,
and you get to see it a little bit more because, you know, some people, well, we all do. I know I've spent more time on BTR radio shows than I've spent with my family, but I don't really like my family. But I don't like the people on BTR that much either.
Well, some of them you can say roll and roll with and they get mad.
What I was going to say is, although I am enjoying the way we're ending it on the overtime portion, we I definitely got to shut it down because I have other obligations.
We understand. Me and Maisel bump into each other again. It just happens that way.
But
basically, however, you said that you don't dislike that man, and I hope he understands from that point of view.
I can't say that I like him. I just know better than to let shit that I don't have control over bother me. And I can tell when someone's agitated. And I can tell when someone's agitated. And I'm kind of happy that some people are agitated.
Oh, okay.
But agitated is just not my thing.
I like agitating people, and I just don't. I mean, they can't. I just let people know they can't run me away, and I don't get upset. I just like to say what's on my mind, and I think different. And that's
however it happens, it happens. You know, even if one of these people that don't like me on these radio shows were to, you know, drop refrigerators out of the air and wreck my house and kill me, it's still my responsibility because then no one make me call in on here. So it's all good.
Yeah, even though your show got kind of off today, you're still doing a good job. So I'm going to give you some credit again today.
Thank you very much, and you have a very good rest of the day. And don't count me out of them chicken and dumplings just because you don't want to give none to Bianchi.
Well, I'm talking to the host. I said he's doing a good job at what he's working with.
You hanging in there. You know, he found that gun. He found that gun. And plus, the technical difficulties aren't helping him none. And now I see why Mr. Talk has such a heavy hand. Because if not, the shit goes wild.
Yes, it all comes with time. You'll get just as good as Mr. Talk if you keep it up.
Yeah, he runs
appreciate
a tight ship, and it kind of keeps it from getting out of control. And even then, it gets out of control. It's just the nature of this. Some of us don't like each other very much.
Well, I don't call to be like. I just call to give give what I have to say, and I'll be fine.
Well, I'm smiling from ear to ear. It's good to chit-chat with you, and Cloud, just keep it up. And it is what it is, Cloud. Don't feel bad that this shit gets chaotic sometimes. It really got very little to do with you.
Yes, Cloud, just represent who you are and what you are, and you'll do good in life.
Have a nice evening.
And you have a good one, too.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Enjoyed everyone, and can't wait to talk again tomorrow. Again, I wanted to remind everybody that tomorrow's topic will be guns and violence. How do we stop it? So we're going to touch on that. We're going to go in depth, and we're going to attempt to not only get through the technical glitches, but try to manage the chaos a lot better. I bid everybody a joy and peace, and I hope that the remainder of you guys' day is peaceful. Enjoy us. And until we meet again, I want to say goodbye to all.
Have a good night, please.